In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And shall not be put to shame.
To God on high be glory and
Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is Reformation Day. The appointed first reading is from the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God.
Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers.
Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels.
That you may tell the next generation
that this is God, our God forever and
the epistle reading is from Romans, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
On this Reformation Day, we confess the Christian faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated, the Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal, just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. So that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man,
composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh in one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 656.
Thank you.
and Spirit, and take they our life, good thing, child and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may know, as I wrote in a newspaper column back in February, that in the Roman Catholic Church, this year of 2025 is a jubilee year, when you can get what is called a plenary indulgence, a full removal of temporal punishment for sin through Christ's merits. You get the 2025 indulgence not by paying money for it, as was the case with the jubilee indulgence of the year of 1510 that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther addressed with his disputation on the power and efficacy of indulgences, more popularly known as his 95 Theses. But you get the 2025 indulgence by such things as pilgrimages, Eucharistic visits, and works of mercy and penance. Nevertheless, in general, the 95 Theses are just as applicable today as they were 508 years ago this day, when Luther posted them both by nail to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg and by mail to his ecclesiastical supervisor, Archbishop Albrecht of Mainz. For example, the 21st thesis rightly condemns indulgence preachers for the error of saying that one is absolved from every penalty and saved by papal indulgence. And the 62nd thesis positively states the truth, that the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. In support of that thesis, Luther, in his explanations of the 95 Theses, published about a year later, used, among other verses, John 1:18, which says, "From his fullness we have all received." Although we usually consider that verse at Christmas as part of its surrounding passage, the so-called prologue of St. John's Gospel account, I have chosen that verse as a free text for this sermon tonight, giving this sermon the theme, "From Christ's fullness we receive grace upon grace." As at the time of the Reformation, so also today, Roman Catholic teaching makes unbiblical distinctions between such things as guilt and punishment, both temporal and eternal. For example, indulgences were thought to cut short the penitent sinner's punishment, potentially both on earth and in an imagined purgatory. Furthermore, an imagined treasury of merits from Christ and the saints who were said to have done more than God had required of them supposedly could be applied to individuals who purchased indulgences or to their deceased family or friends. The Roman Catholic preachers then may have stated the official teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, but their approach misled ordinary Christians who could not readily make the distinctions that their preachers made. That same sort of confusion no doubt occurs with Roman Catholics in our time, even if, as appears to be the case with the 2025 indulgence, the merits in view are only Christ's, and the indulgence is not sold, but earned. Of course, as soon as we say that one must do something in order to receive Christ's merits, salvation by grace has been turned into salvation by works. Some of Christ's glory for doing all that needs to be done for our salvation is taken, as it were, and given to the person earning the indulgence. If not in that way, then in other ways, we may lessen the glory that Christ should receive for our and other people's salvation. For example, we may think wrongly that we are not as sinful as we are, and so that we do not need as much help from Christ as we do need. We may think wrongly that we or other people are able, without God's help, to decide whether or not to believe in Jesus. We may think wrongly that we or other people are generally pretty good people, and so that God will let us into heaven because we try to live good lives. We may think wrongly that God does not seriously demand that we at least want to and try to stop sinning. Because of these and other actual sins, as well as because of our sinful nature, we are guilty and deserving of temporal and eternal punishment, unless we are sorry for our sin and, enabled by the Holy Spirit, trust God to forgive our sin by grace for his Son Jesus' sake. As I wrote in my October newsletter article, the first of Luther's 95 theses is that when Jesus said repent, he willed our entire lives as believers to be those of repentance. When we repent, then God forgives us. God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. All the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in Jesus, St. Paul writes to the Colossians, and through Jesus to reconcile to God all things, making peace by the blood of Jesus' cross. Or as St. John wrote a few verses before our sermon text, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then, as the text says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus died on the cross for us in our place, the death that we deserved. And then he rose from the dead. God forgives us as a free gift that we receive in faith, which faith itself is a free gift. We freely receive faith and forgiveness through God's means of grace, his word, and his sacraments. The former CEO of Intel and now executive chairman of a technology company called Glue, a man by the name of Patrick Gelsinger, wants to use technology such as artificial intelligence, abbreviated AI, in order to hasten the coming of Christ, as if that were possible. And Gelsinger likens AI's development
to Johannes Gutenberg's movable type printing press, which we would say God used to help spread the 95 Theses in particular and the Reformation in general. Yet Gelsinger seems to overstate AI's potential as a powerful embodiment of the church and what he called the expression of the church. To be sure, the Holy Spirit expresses the gospel both through God's word read and preached to groups such as this group, and through the gospel applied to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine of the Holy Supper that are Christ's body and blood. Grace upon grace. We not only see the Lord's fullness, but we receive inexhaustible grace from it, and we touch it. Pastor and people gathered around God's word and sacraments are the only powerful embodiment of the church, humble and hidden as it is in this world. In the 95 Theses, Luther sees not only the gospel, but also the keys of the church exercised in the reading and preaching of the gospel, in holy baptism, in holy absolution and excommunication, and in the Holy Supper. He sees those also as the treasure of the church. When the gospel is applied in these ways and received by those who are penitent, Luther sees as coming forth from people good works of love and mercy. For example, people's using what God gives them for their family needs and not squandering it on indulgences. Similarly, neither indulgences nor anything else is used for a fundraising scheme, as if to pay for St. Peter's Basilica in Rome or another church building. But we voluntarily give a sacrificial first portion of the earthly treasure that God gives to us in order to help share with others our heavenly treasure that we receive for Christ's sake. From Christ's fullness, we receive grace upon grace. We neither place our trust in indulgences nor try to earn indulgences. We trust only in the merits of Christ, given to us freely through his means of grace. And so, no matter what happens, we have peace and joy already now, as we will have for eternity. As Luther describes in the final two of his 95 Theses, we are diligent in following Christ our Lord through penalties, death, and hell. And thus we are confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations rather than through a false security of peace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who after long ages of darkness didst deliver our fathers from the bondage of error and the tyranny of human ordinances, we heartily thank thee for those faithful witnesses through whom thou didst restore the gospel of Christ to men. And we praise thee that thou hast caused this blessed light to shine until the present hour, so that now we know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, our only mediator. And unrestrained by human laws and unmolested by worldly powers, we are permitted to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We beseech thee, defend thy church against all her foes, and do not suffer thy flock to be scattered or to be despoiled of the wholesome pasturage of thy word. Seek and save the lost and all who have gone astray. Preserve among us thy pure word and the holy sacraments. Turn our hearts from vain and delusive doctrines, and keep us steadfast in thy grace and truth, that we may not misuse this priceless liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, lest we harm our souls and be a reproach to thy church. Direct and strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit to abide in the confession of thy word and to walk worthy of the gospel unto all pleasing, that by the innocency of our lives and the constancy of our faith, even unto death, we may glorify thy holy name, and in the end, by thy grace, obtain everlasting life. Now unto thee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord, truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
I think we can all fit at the rail, so come forward and we will commune together.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Phoenix, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you in your baptismal grace as you live every day in His love and grow in faith. Lady, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you in your baptismal grace as you live every day in His love and grow in faith. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
After you bash your seats, we'll sing the first distribution in 562. This is the body of Christ given for you.
Sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated in a moment. We're glad that God gathered all of us here tonight to receive his gift of forgiveness in word and in sacrament. Glad others can join us live and stream down the way. Thank you to Debbie for pinch hitting on the live feed and for Lane for playing.
I never got the video to work.
Oh, that's all right.
The audio is working fine.
Oh, okay.
So, if you YouTube it, you can listen to it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure we'll post the audio as well later.
Good.
So, yeah. Any announcements, normal stuff on Sunday?
15-2.
All Saints Day transferred.
Yeah, 15-2.
15-2 after church, yeah. All right. Look forward to greeting you all.